Lift your hand wherever you are. Lift your hand, lift your hand. Come on, tell him how great he is. Tell him how great he is. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, in your own words, tell him how good he has been in your life. We worship your name, O God. We worship your name, O God. Mantebo korata sata likadaya. Redebo masata ya da 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 ba. Ikebarata sata radaba borata sata. Come on, worship him, worship him, worship him. Oh, marala sata da 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 manjerebo. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Mahanda yakadara dayaraba. Ekadaraba mosota baba. Ikadara dayadara daya. Meke dere dera dabaya sata. Yama bala kadasa talaba. Ibola de. Worship him. Worship him, worship him. Sakataya, Apolataya, Panana, Panama. Thank you, Jesus. We worship your name. Thank you, Father. You are such a good God. We give you all the praise, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worship. Come on, jam your hands together. Give God praise. Give God praise. Woo! Please take your seat this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, somebody. No, it can be better. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. We're still in celebration mode. Hallelujah. Praise God. The whole of September, we're celebrating our ministry anniversary. This September makes it 24 years since we started DCC. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. God has been good. God has been good. I brought some pictures. Some of you that are old members, you've seen the pictures, but there are always new people with us every year. Is the camera working today? Is it working to the screen? Okay. The side ones are not working. They worked in the first service now. What happened? It's not working again. Okay. So this was me in 1997 or thereabout. This was a special program. This was the gaining momentum of that time. So imagine, that's why we rented Canopy. Normally we don't use Canopy. Show the next one. Normally we didn't have money for Canopy. So that's why I sing Canopy. Normally we just sit under a tree like this, in the grass like this. And that time, when I'm going for service, I will first use my faith to believe God that it will not rain that day. It must not rain. Because we had no canopy. This canopy was because it was a convention. This was convention. Show more. Yes, this is me here. Those of you that know this is a history, this trouser, how many of you know, remember? This trouser is a part of our history. But if you are new, don't worry. We'll tell you the story another day. But those that are old know the trouser. Show me some more. Okay, by now, things have even started looking good. Even though we're in an uncompleted building somewhere that we rented at the time. Who knows this man? Minister Emeka. All these guys were children that time. Let me see if you still have. Okay, let me see. Do you have the one with Minister? Okay, this was the whole fellowship at one time. This was where we're using. This place, this kiosk. Who remembers this woman? Minister Joy. How many of you know her? Some of you don't know her. Okay. Those in drama, you know her now. Minister Joy, see her with me, see me. This is 20 years after. Now, I'm showing these pictures for two reasons. Number one, first reason is to understand that we don't go into ministry because of money. Because you can see that these people, at the time I started pastoring them, they had no money. I mean, it would have been stupid if that was what I was looking for because they had no money. They were all children. They were all kids at the time. Even Pastor Jethro, I called him in the first service, the resident pastor. He was in second. Come on stage again. Clap for your resident pastor now, guys. Yeah. He too was there then. He was in secondary school. This man Yasin, stand where they will see you well. This man Yasin was in secondary school. when I became his pastor. Same with all those people you are seeing, Joy, Minister Joy. And the Minister Joy they showed you earlier, she's one of the big producers in Nollywood now. She has even appeared on CNN before. And she has helped a lot of people in church here going to Nollywood, either as scriptwriters or as actors. Some of you know what I'm, those in drama know what I'm talking about. You see, but I started pastoring her. This was not when I started pastoring her. She was already attending service. This was this picture. So I started pastoring her from 1990-something. So for over 20 years. This guy, too, I've pastored him for about 20 years. Over 20 years, too. 23 years. I'm just trying to show you that, you see, the devil will try to tell you that, oh, these pastors are after your money. How can, which money did they have? This woman, this, his heart she has now, how can she have money? You see, it's important I share this thing because, like I said, there are two reasons I'm showing you these pictures. Because the devil is always, is that, see, the devil is strategic. Remember what we said? He's painting pictures intentionally to corrupt the souls of people. He's intentional. We said four things from last week. First one is what? We are at war. If you missed those messages, please get them. First one is we are at war. This is not a joke. On this earth is a war, it's a battleground, battlefield. And the battle is for the souls of men to corrupt it, to take it to hell, to deceive them, to blind them. So number one, we are at war. Number two, what? We're in enemy territory because we're in this world. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. And the Bible said the God of this world, small letter G, Satan is the God of this world. He's in charge here. This is his world. That's why evil thrives, but people fight righteousness. That's how it works. He's the God of this world. Number three is what? Human beings are not our enemy. Most of the human beings are not our enemy. Satan is just using people. All right? It's just, we saw it in the life of Peter. Same Peter said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Same Peter also said, you will not die. And Jesus responded each time to the spirit behind Peter at the time. He would never spoke to Peter. When Peter said the right thing, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. So he spoke to the Father inside him. When he spoke, you will not die. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. So it's not even Peter talking. The fourth one is what? Strategic. He knows that if he paints pastors falsely, you won't be able to receive from the ministries of those men of God. He knows that. And it's not just targeting you that even know things a bit spiritually. It's targeting the unbeliever that will keep seeing the prosperity of the pastor, for instance. Say, this pastor, all they want is money. Come and join the money. Eat, come and eat that money there and that grass where we were. Where was the money? That was where I started pastoring him. Now, today, he's head of HR in USC. Is Pastor Shukwa here? Is Mr. Shukwa here? Come, quickly, come, if you don't mind. Where is Fumi? Fumi is cloth. She's always sewing. She doesn't come to church. Jethro, come. Jethro says he's here. Come and show me yourself. Go nearer now. Go and point it. I'm not. Is that you? How can that be? How do you know it's you? How do you know it's you? Do you agree? I don't agree. I will investigate further. But you should know you at least. Okay. He said that's him. There. Which title did he have that time? See how he's looking. You see, I need you to understand because you must start defending the gospel. Because Satan is strategic. Say, they're after pastors, they're after money. Where? Come and show me here. Where money is there? Did you see the pulpit? It's cut and nail. It can fall anytime. There was no money there. It was never money. Now, this guy, head of HR, I started pastoring him. Fumi didn't come to church. She has gone. She went to sew, measure up somebody. Fumi likes to sew too much. I started pastoring him too when, how many years? About 22 years. 22 years. His own story is long. We can't go into it today. But his wife too was attending the fellowship then too. So they both met there and got married. How many children do you have now? They have three boys now. Three boys now. Where do you work? I work in Coca-Cola. As what? He's a fleet manager in Coca-Cola. This one is head of HR in USC. Now, see where I said they were nothing when I started pastoring them. Now that they are, if they come together and tear me a check or buy me a car, and this is just two, there are many people like this. So if 100 of them, for instance, come together, put on $1 million down, and it becomes 100 million, and they buy me one very bad car, the devil will say, they're after your prosperity. And by the time they show me and the car in the picture, it will look like that. But that's not the true story. Because when I was pastoring them, they had nothing. And see what the Bible says. The Bible says, anybody that is blessing you spiritually, it's normal for you to bless them back physically. DJ, bring that scripture from Galatians. Galatians 6. I think either 6:6 or 6:5 to 6:7. DJ, quickly. 6:6. DJ, quickly now. I need to understand this. It's not part of the message, but we are in the time, so we need to be clearing these things. Look at this. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate. The word communicate means give, okay? Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in what? Not good things. Can I see the next verse? Okay. It says, be not deceived, whatever man shall. So they're saying this. Let the person that is teaching, let the person that is being taught the word of God, let him give all good things. Give me a more contemporary version that will make it clear. Let him give good things. So it is biblical that as I've blessed them, taught them, I wedded them, all these things, I wedded them, different things. They got married on that. They were children now, so now they have children. It's not too big. If 100 people, 200 people come together and say, let's drop on 1 million. Let's give Pastor 200 million. If they give me 200 million now and I buy one bad car, or they go and buy the car and bring it, a demon will say, and some clueless Christians will join and say, it's biblical here. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share what? All good things with their what? Instructor. These are managers in their companies. And these are just managers. Imagine somebody that is a CEO, that is a billionaire. Don't let the devil fool you, sir. Don't fall for that trash. I'm not bothered about the unbeliever self. I'm bothered about Christians. At least you understand the basics of how the gospel works. Nobody can start ministry for church. Those hungry stages, if it's money you're looking for, you would have resigned. People that survive beyond this stage, they are not interested in money because there's no money here. The second reason I'm sharing these pictures is that if God can take me from that level and bring me to where I am today, there's no reason why he can't do the same in your own life. Do you understand? In case there's somebody here that is discouraged, wondering, will I ever make it? Listen, the same God that did it for me, did it in me, did it through me, that same God is still at work. It's the same principles. That's what I'm teaching you every day. If you do it, oh, you see, I can't do it for you. If you do it, I give you 101% guarantee that it will produce the same results. Because it's the same word. So I don't care where you're coming from. I don't care how tough things are for you now. Listen, no matter what you want to see, I've seen it. If it's regarding poverty, stress, rent, all this. Don't time for going to the story. I've seen it. This trouser you are seeing me wear here, I wear for 7 years. It was my major trouser, whether it's normal service or convention like this. 7 years, sir. I've seen poverty. Relax. Go and do what I'm teaching you. Do it. It will work. I'm too sure. Is somebody get what I'm saying? It's high time I do a full series on prosperity again. It has been a while. I still prosper in every currency till tomorrow. Those of you that were here, we said that dollars, we make it in dollars. I knew Naira can't be reliable forever. I knew that before. So you better to be a millionaire in dollars. That way your millionaire is confirmed. Because Naira can just mess you up. Are you here, somebody? If you follow what I'm teaching you, it's the same thing I'm doing. It's not offering and tithe, I'm eating. In the same country, to work. So there are two reasons I'm showing you these things. Number one, no real preacher. Because when they say karma counting, some dull Christians were happy. You're a joker. If you think any real pastor is interested in those things, that's what they are using to survive. Yeah, you don't know anything about gospel. Thank you guys. So you guys should gather yourselves and do that thing I said. Yes. My birthday's in January, so gather them, everybody. 100 or 200, between 100 and 200 million is okay. I have some things I want to do with it. Thank you. Oh, I'm not ashamed to say it though. They too are blessed now. This one owns his own house. Jethro here, him and his wife, they built their own house. So, is it bad if me I have a house? I mean, no, that's what the unbelievers are saying. No. If I still look like this now, there will be no need to criticize me. But it's when I start looking fresh. They say, Pastor, after your time, come and criticize me this time. Come. This microphone now go take beat you. Because the frustration that was battling me, you now come and Chris, I will use microphone and flog you. It's when they see signs of prosperity, they are now angry. They don't realize that it's out of what we have poured into people that they are pouring back into us. I have sons and daughters like these 2 years, scattered all over the world. All over the world. Somebody get what I'm saying? All over the world. Hallelujah. Let me see if I can go into this service, Jerry. So in the first service, we dealt with the fact that Satan is an accuser. We're looking at his names and how it applies to us. So the concept is that the devil knows you, but do you know him? The devil knows you, but do you know him? He's always at work, and his biggest trick is to make you even believe he doesn't exist or he's not working. That's one of his strategies. Meanwhile, he's heavily active, always working, because his time is running out. So in the first service, we said he's one of his names is the accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of our brethren. Anytime you are tempted to accuse a Christian or a pastor, or if you are being accused as a Christian, you need to know it's the devil behind it. It's never God. And he said, we have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. Please go and get the message of first service. Second service, today we're dealing with the fact that Satan is the tempter. He is the what? I can't hear you. He is the what? Tempter. Tempter. Somebody that tempts. Hallelujah. He's the tempter. What does this mean? He's always tempting people to do something. See, a lot of times some thoughts are occurring to you. It's not you. I wish you can understand that. Sometimes when a thought is coming to you, you thought it was your thought. It's not your thought. Thoughtn't it? It wasn't your thought. It's not everything that comes to your mind that was your thought. Most times, there's the thought of the devil. There's also the thought of God. We just are not sensitive to both. He is the tempter. He always comes to whisper to your ears. Fight back. Insult their mother. Say your mind. Take that money that is not your own. The tempter, send that message. Text that boy. Let's look at 2 scriptures and I'll show you exactly how Satan tempts. Matthew 3:17. Where's my water? Matthew 3:17. Look at this, guys. And this was where Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist. He says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying what? I'm not feeling you people. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. One more time. Okay, now, please also note that the Bible was not written in chapter and verses. I hope we know that. It was translators that divided chapter and verse so that we can find what we are looking for. The Bible, like Matthew, is just a writing of one person. The whole of it is one book. They just divided for chapter so that we can find it. So, from this chapter 7, is this the last verse of this chapter? Yes, so this is the last verse of chapter 3. So look at chapter 4, verse 1, meaning it's a continuation. It said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil. Next verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward what? Hungry. This is important, guys. Listen very carefully. This will help you. Next verse. And when who? I can't hear you. What they call him? He's the tempter. It is his job. He is the tempter. He said, when the tempter came, he said, if thou be what? What did God just say in verse 17 that we read? God just said a few minutes ago, this is my son. Satan repeated exactly the same thing. If what God said is true. And take note, he didn't tempt him with, if you be the son of God, come and play penalty kick, come and play free kick. Somebody that has been fasting, what's a good temptation for somebody that is fasting? So you see, I'm just going to show that the person you're playing with, he's not playing with you. He's strategical. He won't tempt you with something that will interest you. Do you know all the critics of churches we have are people that actually have a good heart, but they're offended with church? So Satan will capitalize on something legitimate to push you into something illegitimate. That's what he's doing. No, nobody can come and tempt you. Satan won't come with his horn. Carry horn and tail. And come and say, I'm the devil. Kill your brother. He won't start like that. He will say, will you allow him to talk to you that way? I don't know. He will start with something legitimate. Your brother said something that looked rude. Then he will bounce on your neck. I say, so are you going to allow him just talk to you that way? Then he will go and meet your brother. See the person you spoke to, he didn't answer you. Say more, say one more. Then the guy will repeat it. I said it. This is what I said. He will come back and say, he has said it 2 times. There are many homes that have been broken like that. Satan talking to both of them. Say your mind. You go and say, she's shouting at you. Slap her. Just one slap. One slap is not, it will reset her. And the guy too will be, bah! Slap her. You go and meet her. You allow him to slap you. Hold his shirt. Tell him he will kill you today. He will hold his shirt. Say, you will kill me today. You go and tell him, obey her. Kill her today. That's why many times when people have finished doing stupid things, when they sit down and be wondering, how did I get here? The tempter. See how organized he was. He didn't tempt Jesus with football. Somebody that is fasting, he started with food. He turned this stone to bread. You know that bread? That when you open it, smoke comes out. Some of you know that bread, have you? It's brown on top. When you open it, the smell. So that bread that goes with anything. If you eat that bread and yam, it will be sweet. Because of how sweet the bread is. Come back to the church in Jesus' name, your mind. Because of who don't say, I made them close service that they go. He talked about bread to somebody that was just finishing fasting. He's strategic. He's not a joker. He tempts you with something you would like. Something you'll be interested in. He's the tempter. And you see, what does temptation mean? He is asking you to do something God has said you should not do. He did the same thing for Adam and Eve. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Go to Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17. You'll see the same behavior. Satan doesn't really come up with new strategies. Same strategies he uses. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. That's not what's showing on my own. Let's do my screen now, guys. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man. Do you notice? The Lord God did what? Commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely what? Many people make the commandments of God look wicked. God has said, freely enjoy, flex. See what it now says. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Stop there. See, I don't have time today because of the shortness of services. But there is nothing God tells you that is bad for you. Everything God tells you is good for you. Many people will think, but why did God say they should not eat the tree of good and evil? The issue with the tree of good and evil is that before this time, there was only good. But if you eat this tree, it means you will now start seeing two sides to everything. And two sides to everything now starts temptation. If it's only one side to everything you have, then you will live in health. There will be no sickness. There's no sickness and health. At this point, there was only health. At this point, there was no prosperity or poverty. There was only prosperity. At this point, there was no life or death. There was only life. But they say if you eat this fruit, everything will now have two. There will be good, there will be bad. That's why it's called the tree of good and evil. means there will be health, there will be sickness. So God was helping them by saying, don't eat it. See what Satan said. Now go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. It's long over. I can't read everything. Chapter 3 from verse 1. DJ. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said. That's the tempter. Everything God says, he'll come and say, did God really say? Has God said? Satan always challenges the word of God. He wants to make you feel that what God is saying. Somebody say, if you notice, after they ate the fruit, God told them, don't eat the other fruit, the other tree, that is the tree of life. If they have eaten that one, they would have lived forever. Imagine living forever in this world where there's sickness. Now, when people are 80, 90, 100, they are very sick. Imagine that they live forever. They will be on the ground, finished, and still be alive. No, they will not be able to die. So when God was saying, don't eat, leave the garden, it was helping them. It wasn't punishing them. If they had stayed there and eaten the tree of life, some people will be poor. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That one is a story from that day. But the point is this. Satan's favorite line is, has God said? He did the same with Adam. He did the same with Jesus. The moment God said, this is my beloved son, Satan came with the same statement. If you be really the son of God the way God says, Satan tempts you with whatever God says. So as a Christian, I want to beg you, because there are many of these things out there today. I want to beg you, please, whenever you see somebody countering the word of God, either subtly. Now, they don't even come out rightly and say the Bible is not good. What they come and say, they try to twist what the God is saying. That's what Satan does, as God said. So the Bible says things like, wives, submit to your husbands. They have so many variations of that thing now. That no, men and women should submit to themselves. No man should be the head of the home. The women are the same thing. They are saying, has God said? And they are breaking many homes all over the world today. Because they are saying, no, women should not submit. I'm not the one that wrote it. I know I'm smart, but I'm not that smart to write the Bible. God himself have laid how the thing should work. He created marriage. He said the wife should submit. And do you notice that I've never had any argument about what the man should do? The only argument is about what woman should do. That's not the complete story now. If they say women should submit, ask what should the men do. If the men's own is also there, if you're going to counsel it, counsel the two. Don't only counsel, you are fighting only submission. The Bible said men too should love you the way Christ loved the church and died. So you mean, should we counsel that one too? Because you can't just pick only one that doesn't favor you and say, I don't like that submission thing, I'm not going to take it. But the men should continue loving me. Don't pick it in isolation. There's a concept to it. They're saying women submit. They're saying men love like Christ loves. You can't pick one out of it. Are you hearing somebody? And guess what? The submission they're saying submit, they still give you a right to choose who you will submit to. It's not as if they say go and submit to any man you meet on the road. It's not as if they say would give your husband and submit. No, they say you pick who you feel you can submit to. Do you know as a human being, you are constantly picking things to submit to? From the day you join a church, you have picked to submit to that church. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Now, you can go to that church if you want, but as long as you are in the church, they say sit down, you need to sit down. They say stand up. You're submitting. But you chose the church. Oh. You see, you can't be in your house and I'll from here be commanding you to stand up. No. But from the time you enter the church, you have chosen who to submit to. That means you must at least like or trust the leadership. Because the man can't carry out what God has told him to do if you won't submit to him. It's like the way you choose a salon. From when you choose a salon, you have chosen to submit to that barber or the hairdresser. But it's not by force. You can stay in your house or you can choose another hairdresser. But when you choose this one, he'll be controlling you. Sit down. Turn left. Turn right. And those days, they used to put ear. I don't know if they still do it now when they're barbing your head. They'll put your ear to barb your head. I remember one guy, if I catch that guy, I'll still beat that guy. So you have chosen who to submit to. If you don't like the guy's hand, you don't like how he barbs, don't choose him. But you choose him. They say, sit down. You don't want to sit down. I want to barb your head. Sit down. No. You say, feminine. I'm a feminist. We don't support rubbish. But now you choose the man. If you want to stay on your own. But if you want to choose who to marry, then the Bible said you should submit to him. He also gave the man his own instruction. So it's not only you. Don't come and make yourself a victim. It's not only you. The thing he gave the man to do is hard for the man to do. Is somebody here? The Bible says you can't have sex before marriage. The world too will shout, hey, why? You want to kill us? There's nothing there. As long as you're planning to marry. As long as both of you know yourself. As long as you use protection. You use condom, you'll be fine. That's not what the Bible says. The tempter. The tempter. Everything God says, he comes to cancel it. America is shouting about coronavirus. I'm just laughing. Coronavirus has killed 200,000 people in America, according to them. Abortion kills 1 million people every year. If there's anyone we should be shouting about, we should know the one we should be complaining about that has killed more people. And that's what I told you last week. Before you support any political party or what, even especially in America, you need to know what they are both standing for. It's not about speaking English. It's about the philosophies they are standing for. If America kills only America, not the world now, this is only America, kills over 1 million babies every year. Picture how many babies are dying globally. Calculate, picture it. I'm sure it's over 10 million people. And all, most of those things are born out of fornication. The exact thing God said we should not do. Satan will say, there's nothing there. Nobody is being hurt. It's a lie. He never tells you the full truth. And the bad thing about Satan is that once he tempts you to enter trouble, when you enter the trouble, you know go see him. After Adam and Eve ate the fruit, where did Satan, did he come and join them and he went to hide? He went to hide. When God appeared, they say Adam heard the voice of God. Adam went to hide himself. And God said, Adam, where are you? He said, I'm hiding. He said, because I'm naked. Who told you were naked? Did you eat the fruit? I said, Satan had gone. Nothing a snake. Don't go. Don't run. When he's tempting you, pushing you, he'll be there. Once the yawa gas, so you can sleep with anybody. As long as it's not bad. Everybody's doing it. Different excuses. If America alone is aborting 1 million babies, and that's why some people are fighting to support one president over the other president as well. It's because the one that wants to take over the thing from the one that exists believes in abortion. And what it means is that taxpayers will fund this abortion. That means me and you, for instance, for our country, your tax, they will use to go and pay for somebody's abortion. So it's not about the president doesn't talking away. No, the philosophy is what they are after. Somebody get what I'm saying? I told you last week that between 1971 or 1975 or so and 2020, I'm 19 or 17, I can't remember, the whole America aborted 40 million children. 40 million. 40 million. The whole of Ghana is 32 million. America aborted Ghana and had 8 million change. The whole Ghana is aborted. That shows you the amount of people that have been aborted yearly. So for someone, somebody's arguing with you about fornication. I'm not saying people don't fall into sin. I understand that. But I'm trying to help you understand that. At least we should know what we believe and what we stand for. We can be managing ourselves to try and apply it. But at least we shouldn't be arguing about whether it's right or wrong. And Satan goes small by small. He never stops. He's a tempter. He will say, no, I don't want the whole thing. No, just kiss. Me, it's only kiss I want you to do. Fornication care. No, not fornication. I'm thinking kiss. It's your fiancé. It's kiss. After you kiss, didn't you enjoy it? Yeah, now hold each other. It's the same thing. Now if you kiss, yeah, hold. It's not easy. Touch everywhere. It's the same thing. Why are you doing like this? Are you too spiritual? He knows what he's doing. When he finished with you, he's such a liar. He's such a liar. Hallelujah. A tempter. One step at a time. Once he challenges one scripture and it works, he will challenge the next one. Women should not submit. That's what's going around now. Women liberation, women. See, submission is not bad, sir. First of all, you choose. Why are Nigerians from Nigeria running to Canada and America and the rest? Do you know why? We have leader here now, but we prefer the leader in Canada. I get what I'm saying? Because Nigerians living here, they'll go and submit there too. But they like that submission. That's what submission is. You choose who you are going to submit to. I mean, is there anybody here that won't be glad to submit to Bill Gates? And you become his responsibility. I'll be glad to submit to Bill. If I can choose my father. No, picture Diamond. Make sure that we can choose our father. No. Picture you can choose your father. Come on, guys. Bezos. Kingsley Bezos. That's simple. I submit. I remember those in secondary school. So some of my classmates, when they do something bad, their father will come. I say, "You junior, you did that? I'm pulling you out of this school. I'm sending you to America." I say, "Sir, we all of us did it together. Sir, we all together. this group, we are the one that did it." Say, submission is bad. Are you kidding me right now? Submission is good. It's just that some women open their eyes and go and choose demon to submit to. They'll not be arguing that submission is not bad. I mean, submission is bad. Why I put a post today about, I put a post on my page about wives should learn how to pray when they're having issues in the marriage. Some people have been writing there that not only pray, leave the marriage. If they're not, what, if you had sense, why did you go and marry somebody that you want to leave? If you had sense in the first place, it's now you want to have sense that they are beating you. How did you enter? Choose who you submit to. There are many people who will be glad to submit to. Every time you enter an airline, you know you have chosen who to submit to. They say, "Arik is flying. Air Peace is flying. Dana or somebody is flying." When you buy the ticket, you have the option now. But you choose to submit to Arik. You know they will never fly on time. I'm just example. But you have submitted to them. But you had a choice to choose any other one. When you enter the plane, say, "Everybody stand up." You will stand. Put on your seatbelt. You've chosen to submit. It's not bad. Submission is not a bad thing. Don't let the devil deceive you. And the devil keeps whispering things. Don't beat your children. If you beat them, they will die. Satan is always targeting scripture. Because the Bible makes it clear that it's okay to beat a child. It's not saying you should abuse your child. But it's okay to discipline them. And if that discipline involves spanking their bum bum sometimes, say, "Go ahead and do it." But Satan will come and say, "No, he will die if you kill him. If you beat him, he will..." What the Bible says explicitly, that if you flog the child, he will not die. The Bible was explicit. DJ, if you can find that for me. It's explicit. But you see, scientists will come and tell us, "No, if you kill, he'll be traumatized." Of course, I'm not saying you should not be beating your children for any reason. As not lose, just bring your children out. Or if you come and take two strokes. Two strokes. Abomayang Yang did not score. So two strokes, all of you. No. That's not what we're saying. And doesn't mean that every point, every opportunity you have, bring out Cain. But every once in a while, it's good to let them know, "Look, I'm going to punish you. Because you are teaching them about life, and life has consequences. That every action, not go to your room." Is that what they will tell him when he commits a crime as an elder? Is it go to your room or go to the prison room? Tell him the truth. He said, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." He won't. He said, he will die. It's a lie. You see, and this one might look flexible. Because if you, "I don't want to be my child." The moment you agree one argument of Satan, he will bring on that one. He doesn't stop. Look at the next thing. He said, "Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." I didn't write it. But Satan will challenge it. Anything can challenge. Now they're challenging that there are no roles in the home. That men and women are the same. The women should not necessarily keep the home. That everybody now goes to work, so everybody's the same. Men and women will never be the same. Of course, I know women are working today. And of course, I know the men should help at home. I understand that. But let's not get it twisted. Somebody is still assigned and graced to be more nurturing than the other. It's clear. Biologically, even if you don't know the Bible, biologically, one person has the womb, carries the baby, and nurtures it for 9 months. Then the same person, they give the person breast. The first baby that the food you need is attached. It's not detachable. Is attached to one gender. It tells you who takes care of the family more. Doesn't mean men should not. Of course, men should take care of their family. Definitely, men should be involved in parenting. But I'm trying to tell you that there's already scientific, biological, and scriptural reference to the fact that women generally are more gifted to build in the home. It's a grace they have. And many of them can still run businesses or careers and still do that. Do you think if it was possible to exchange womb, with all this women liberation, you know by now they'd be saying, you born one, husband born one, wife born one. They would have been arguing that now. Just like the way God did it, only them must born. That's really why they've not argued. And they are scientifically, they are already trying to work it out, in case you don't know. God, these people are satanic. Anything God wants, they want to count everything God is saying. From creation, they've never agreed God created the world itself. So why are we even talking about this? Scientifically, they've proven, they know, it's a known fact that when a woman breastfeeds, there are chemicals that flow in her brain that make causes her to be attached to the baby from breastfeeding. So God is a master. He knows what he's doing. Can't be arguing that men and women are the same. They are not the same. Their roles are different. Scientifically, again, they found out that most women of today are stressed more than the women of old. The reason is because most women of today are having to also work as hard as men financially. That's not their natural inclination. No matter how successful they are, that they will be better off if they feel their home is more organized. What they are saying is this, that the stress level of married women is rising because many of them have a nagging feeling that they are not spending enough time raising their kids because they are hustling like the men. Now, of course, they won't say this publicly. They won't say, we are all mates. I'm a manager too. Yes, we know women are good career-wise. But instinctively, most women feel something is missing when they don't feel their home is organized as it should be. Now, this is not me. I'm not the one. This is statistically proven stuff. And that they are dying younger because of this stress than they would normally die. So those of you that are men here, work as hard as you can so that your wife can work when she wants to work. Not that she works because she has to work. Do you understand? You should clap. Believe God for that kind of grace so that your wife can walk at her pace. Not that she's working too much that she can't even have time to take care of the kids. Every woman, genuinely, a lot of her happiness will come out when she can take care of kids and also take care of her kids' kids. Thank God for the culture. Some of the culture we have here, that thing we call omugwo, where the grandmother still comes to take care of her baby and her baby's baby. Women like that. It helps them. It even helps them feel healthier than this hustle. She's in traffic morning to night. She's arguing feminism, but she's dying inside emotionally. Because no time for family life, no time for children, no time for husband. Just work and work and work. I have to round up. The tempter, he will come and cancel everything that God has said. Give, and it shall be given back to you. Satan will come and say, don't give. Just walk and save. Anything God says, he cancels it. Listen, there's a joy that comes from being blessed that you never get from walking. Whenever God blesses you with something, even though God can bless you through your work, but every time something happens that is beyond your physical hustle, there's a joy it brings with it that your physical hustle can never give you. That's why many billionaires still commit suicide. They have all the money in the world, but yet they don't have that blessing of the Lord. Because when it's the blessing of the Lord, it removes sorrow. Are you here, somebody? So things like giving and tithing, Satan will fight it forever. It's not the counsel of God. It's not the wisdom of God for you not to tithe or to give. Hallelujah. These days we see people that are worshiping globally recognized fraudsters. He was even worshiping the guy's shoe. Globally recognized, wanted fraudster globally. Yet the same person will criticize a globally recognized servant of God. You should know the spirit at work there. The spirit of Mammon. Don't give. Meanwhile, everywhere in scripture, you say, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of your increase. You say, your barns shall be filled. It says, give and it shall be given back to you. He said, the people that teach you the word, give to them, because whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Bring that scripture back. Let me end with that scripture. The one Galatians that I read earlier in the service. Let me end with that. He said, let him that is taught in the word communicate or give unto him that teacheth in all good things. Next verse. He said, be not deceived. Do you see this? Be not deceived, because God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man what? Soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. See the next verse. He said, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the things of the spirit shall of the spirit reap what? See what they are saying. They are saying, look, sow into spiritual things. Sow into the person or the house taking care of you spiritually. When you are doing that, you will reap not just here, but you will reap, you know, the rewards eternally. But so when you sow to your flesh, you know, you support your bar where they sell alcohol very well. You support nightclub, support everything, but you when it comes to church, your body is peppering you to give. That's the tempter. Every time you want to, some of you, you are even being tempted not to come to church. They are people watching me at home now. You are being tempted not to come to church. You wake up on Sunday morning, sit down and say, don't go. It rained yesterday. You need to know whose voice that is. Anytime you are hearing a suggestion or a thought that is against scripture, you should know who is speaking to you. Because the Bible makes it clear, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren. So if you don't feel like going, obey the word. Because that suggestion, don't go today. Your body is paining you. Stretch your hand. It's paining you. Lie down. It cannot be the Spirit of God. It's the tempter. And you see, the days you miss church usually are the days that God has a word for you. That's how it always works. The tempter knows. You see, what we read earlier showed that the tempter is strategic. Tempted just with food when just was fasting. He's strategic. He will tempt you with laziness when you are tired. Rest now. Shebi, you walk throughout yesterday now. Rest. Mm-mm. Stand up and go. If you are tired, you need strength in church. Come to church, you will get strength. If you, those of you that are married here too, same thing. Satan will constantly, Christian will constantly whisper to you. Tell your wife. I mean, God will whisper to you. Tell your wife, I love you. Satan will say, look at your wife. She's always doing everything wrong. So instead of you to go there and say, I love you, go there and complain of all the things she's doing wrong. Not knowing that people rise or fall to how you speak to them. If you keep talking down at them, their behavior will keep going down. If you keep speaking up at them, their behavior will keep going up. Somebody getting what I'm saying? Speak life. Sometimes your husband is shouting. The Holy Ghost says, don't reply. But evil ghost. The tempter will come and say, are you going to allow him talk to you that way? Does he know who your father is? Nobody shouts at you like this in your father's house. Reply him. Let him know how sharp your mouth is. He doesn't know you. Satan wants them to slap your mouth. That's what he's trying to do. When they slap your mouth, now you go shout, yeah. You know, that's not they slap somebody. Somebody else that react. They slap on the pat. Yeah! Now you didn't slap. No, they didn't slap. Enter. That's Satan for you. Now he provoke you. When they slap you, now you go shout. Now say, are you going to take that sitting down? Will you allow them slap you like this? Go and slap back. He wants to kill you. The tempter. The tempter. I pray for you today. That whenever you hear the voice of the tempter, you will receive strength to resist it in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. Whenever the tempter is trying to get you to do something that won't favor your destiny. Whenever he's trying to tempt you to do something that will take you backwards instead of forwards. I pray you will receive the grace to resist him in the name of Jesus. The grace to discern when is the voice of God and when is the voice of the devil. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. You will no longer fall for the tempter's tricks. From today, like Jesus, you will overcome every temptation in the name of Jesus. I pray that your week is blessed. This will be a week of overcoming for you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's celebrate Jesus.